Welcome to Indiana Sports Beat Radio.
So for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, it's time!
Three on the way. Oh! Elian! Elian! And Indiana wins the ball game!
Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni!
Float game for the win! Touchdown, Indy! Woo! IU! America! They got a football team now!
It's pretty simple. I win. Google me.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop!
Oh. Now, here's Jim Coyle.
Yes! We're here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, people. Welcome aboard. Glad to have you, and more importantly, glad to be here again. As lots of action going on. Today is media day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and things are starting to ramp up as we head into Christmas. I mean, the Indianapolis 500, the 110th running of the Indianapolis 500 here at the famed Brickyard in Speedway, Indiana, and could not be happier or stoked to be at the greatest sporting event in the world, the largest sporting event in the world, and the greatest gathering, period, of any kind in the world. So, yeah, a little biased, but who's going to argue? What do you got? Bring it. Doesn't matter. I think I talked about this the other day. I don't know, but Will Buxton, who calls the races for Fox, is in his second season. So I did not have a lot of, and still don't have a lot of familiarity with him, but I have caught on to watching Speed with Harvick and Buxton, which is awesome if you are a race fan, because they cover everything and they are aware of everything that is going on in the automotive racing world. It's awesome, whether it's F1, which I'm not going to say I've been following it because I haven't, but that show prompts you to be more, it just gives a lot, but it gives you so much knowledge. More importantly, it showed me how much knowledge Will Buxton has across all disciplines. Amazing. Just a great show. It really is. And it's a something I recommend. But something else I recommend is going to the Indianapolis 500 if you have not, because it's just a it's so hard to explain to people. It really is. I mean, I posted, as a matter of fact, Will from Buxton and Harvick, Kevin Harvick asked him about that. He says, why is it the greatest, best, greatest race in the world? And, he went on this five-minute soliloquy as if this thing was pre-written, and it wasn't. But the mere fact that he was able to go on and continue to lay out adjectives, reasons, and all true and incredible. And Harvick had no disagreement, but the greatest thing that he said was that this place, this speedway, it has its own soul. And that is true, because it is full of heartbreak. There's more heartbreak here than anything. Dead bodies, as you would say, for the guys that did not win, that wanted to win so bad. Every year there are 32 drivers that leave here distraught. And he talked about that, night after the Indianapolis 500, they have the champions dinner. He goes, and these drivers, the 32 that lost, show up and are humble and are out there, but yet they're gutted and devastated, because this is the race they prepare for all season. Yes, the series, the NTT IndyCar Series Championship, is a huge deal. And there are, you know, tons of races throughout the season. But there's only one Indianapolis 500. That's why there are guys racing in this, that's the only race they're going to run this year. That's why you see people like Kyle Larson, Kurt Busch, and Tony Stewart. Jeff Gordon, he never did it, did he? But the crossover. Now we've got a reverse. Catherine Legg, the oldest driver ever to attempt the double, the vaunted double of running the 500, Indianapolis 500, and then booking it to Charlotte for NASCAR's Coke World 600. It used to be the World 600. Coca-Cola 600. 1,100 miles. Been attempted 11 times. You know how many times it's been completed? Five. Five times. It's so hard to do for multiple reasons. Everything has to go right, first of all. You have to finish the first race. You have to finish Indy. And that in and of itself is a challenge that many have tried and failed. But then, let's say you get Indy finished. Okay. Now, you book it out, and Doug Bowles talked about this. They're all ready for this stuff. All the preparations are made. And you want to hear something amazing about speed? If she finishes the 500 in regular fashion and taking the flag on the final lap and it comes into the pits, you know, immediately, 12 minutes before she is airborne in a helicopter to the Indianapolis International Airport to get on a jet. Will take her an hour to get to Charlotte. That's all it is. So from the time she literally steps out of her Indy car, in less than an hour and a half, less than an hour and a half, she'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina. Not at the track yet. They will probably fly into a private airport, I'm thinking, because the Charlotte airport is on the far east side, I believe, kind of the northeast side of Charlotte. And the speedway is, airport is northwest of the city. I know the speedway is out in Concord, which is northeast of the city. So. Big challenge. First woman to ever attempt this. See, I didn't even mention that. Look at me, Mr. Equality, Mr. Unbiased. Didn't even think about that. She's a racer, man. Janet Guthrie. Think about all the women that have raced here at Indy. This is so hard, but man, I'm looking forward to another day. Yesterday was the only day I haven't been here because there was literally nothing going on, and it rained all day. But we'll bring some sunshine here real quick. We'll take a break. Bring in Coach Griff. We'll catch you up on a little football. It's not going to be all Indy today, but other things are going on as well. Big Ten versus the SEC. 24 versus 16. I'm telling you, we know who's going to win this. We talked about it yesterday. We'll talk more about it. On the other side, glad to have you along and glad to be here. Coming to you from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Back with more right after these messages. Welcome back to Indiana Sports Beat Radio, coming to you on this Thursday. Welcome aboard. It is Media Day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, but we've got Coach Griff with us to talk a little football. Have you ever been to the Indianapolis 500?
I have never been to the Indianapolis 500, and it's interesting.
Boom, I just took him out. You can't have him. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding, man.
It's interesting because when I was at Ball State and working for Bill Lynch and some other guys on the staff, they were ticket holders for the race forever in turn four.
And yeah, baby. Hell yeah.
They were, it was always a rite of passage to have to get up early, get to the track, get your parking space, walk to the track, you know, and all those things. So I've never been. I've always been reserved to watching it on TV.
Boo!
But to say that I will not ever attend, I don't think I can say that because there's still that, I guess you could say, desire to maybe just experience at least once.
Well, you hit on the right word. It is an experience, and it's not that this is not my first time, but it's when you're covering it like I normally do. I had been covering it as I cover any other sporting event, mm-hmm. which you can't do that with Indy. And right. This is I've learned that this year. But I've been able to be here more than ever. But I have learned so much. This is just, I mean, across the board, it's just not any other event. It's not any right. other sporting event. You can't treat it as such in any way, whether it's as a fan or a member of the media. If you're a member of the media, for one thing, the access is unprecedented. You get to talk to not just the drivers, but owners, team owners, just there's so much, but you need to know ahead of time. You need to know there, and there's so much to know. I mean, there really is, but it's the history is, everybody knows the history. It's, I mean, they don't know all the history, but they know that it's historic.
Yeah.
There are so many traditions just with the race, but then the families you mentioned, dude, I've talked about this every day that I keep running into people that, oh yeah, I've been coming here since 1959, or I started coming here in 1963.
Right.
This is my daughter. She's been coming for 22 years. It's
that's the awesome. Uniqueness. Yeah. That's the uniqueness of the event. No question.
And it's woven into the fabric of this community. Right. Most people would look at it as, oh, crap, you know, here, daggone it, Indy 500's coming, blah. It's a celebration. It's a month-long celebration by everyone. The drivers, the speedway, the residents of this town, the media, everyone holds it with such reverence. It's incredible. And we can turn this into football. I had an interview that I played yesterday, Coach, with a guy named Ben Braden. Ben Braden, he's 6'7", 330. That's radio. I was like, oh, I felt like you've probably never seen the movie Snatch, one of my favorites. But, oh, daggone it. What's one of the most famous actors? Brad Pitt. He plays this gypsy, an Irish gypsy or something. You can't understand or like one out of every 10 words. What did he say? Oh, he'd do it for a caravan. But he's just, now I forgot what the hell I was even, where I was going with that. But it's amazing. But he did a movie, the F1 movie, that I haven't seen yet.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I would remember what the hell I was going to say, but hey, football. This dude is 6'7", 330.
All right.
Big old boy. Oh, that's what it was. I felt like, oh, I could be like Brad Pitt in Snatch. Oh, they had a big boy. Had, I think I could take. Oh, oh, if I can take him or not. But no, he's now. He played for the Jets. He played for the Packers. Career ended early. He's a fueler for Ed Carpenter, now for Shire, Meyer Shank Racing. And, but I've seen that for a while in NASCAR. They started bringing, going, oh man, you know, let's go get these dudes that are already fast, strong, agile, think quick thinkers on their feet. Back in the day, it was Billy Joe Bob, you know, Jack
the next door neighbor.
Jack legs like me. Hey, dude, can you change a tire? Okay, you can be my rear tire changer.
You know how to put a fuel can in the tank of a car?
Yeah,
can you? Yeah, it's amazing. It really is amazing, like you said, the way that's gone with the former athletes, and especially in NASCAR. But I would imagine all motorsports are evaluating those opportunities, and those guys practice. I mean, it's almost as if they've taken the athlete and the practice structure and geared it towards how they do it for car racing, and they videotape it and they actually have breakdowns of it. And it's gotten to the scientific approach of, you know, all the things that go with it.
That's because now think about it, you know, the importance. It doesn't matter if you're talking about NASCAR or IndyCar or whatever. It's about speed. The whole thing is about speed. The object is to get to that checkered flag first. And so that means less time in the pits. Who can do it faster? They even have pit competitions. I mean, but they do. They track those. Every pit stop by everybody is tracked, measured, watched, viewed. Where can we pick up a tenth? You know, where can we pick up a tenth of a second? Yeah. It's nuts. But it's the same with football. Football's about timing. If you're running whatever play and a guard pulls, well, the guard has to pull when he has to pull. He's got to make his movements when he has to make it, because everything is based on timing. It's choreography. It's all choreography. It's a dance, whether we're talking football or a pit stop. And it's just amazing. And then, Coach, there's always the argument, are race car drivers athletes? And I've settled on the fact that, no, I don't think that they're athletes. I think they're freaking astronauts.
Yeah.
Because astronauts are in incredible physical shape. Their bodies have to be able to withstand these G-forces and things that regular humans just don't. Then they have to be able to drive a rocket, basically. Right. Hell, I saw a clip the other night, the drag racing, a new world record, 345 miles per hour.
Crazy.
A human being in a freaking drag car went 345 miles per hour. I mean, what's his face look? How many G's is that when you're going?
I wish I knew, because I wouldn't be able to do it. And the speed at which they make a decision, too, you've got to also take into account they're having to make a decision on pulling in behind somebody or making a pass on somebody. And, you know, the quick decisions that requires at 220 miles an hour. So, yeah, I think in today's racing, I think they do look for guys that have great hand-eye coordination, but also physical shape. I mean, back in the day, you know, when A.J. Foyt and those guys were all, you know, riding and driving, you know, those were the good old boys back then. But now you can see the science behind how they run things from, you know, A to Z. And I think it's become a bigger part of the whole overall racing world. As they used to say, it's beautiful chaos on race day, right?
I love that phrase, beautiful chaos. That's certainly something beautiful. No more Jackman, Ricky Bobby. There you go. how about what's his name? Carson Hocevar. He was wearing his Ricky Bobby suit the other day, I think I saw. But all right, so we've got the Big Ten. We'll get back to Indy later. We've got plenty to get to there. It's media day here, so as soon as we're done, we will be talking to many of the drivers. But the Big Ten, the SEC, they're locked. They got horns are locked like two bulls. They're just like two bulls just standing there battling. 24, one's got a 24 brand on him, and one's got a 16 brand on it. And I got my money on the 24 brand.
Well, it would appear that the ACC and Notre Dame and others at the P4 level, with the exception of the SEC, all favor a 24-team tournament because the more the merrier, as one would say. Petitti comes from that background of Major League Baseball, you know, and they kind of expanded their world of the playoffs to keep more interest in the game and so forth and so on. And he's pretty hard that it's either 24 or stay at what we're at. I mean, there's not going to be a compromise in this equation. I just don't. They're both stuck in their worlds of it's 24, it's 16, or it's nothing. And
well, for one, here's the difference. The argument, it comes down to if they go to 24, ESPN can't carry all the games.
Correct.
So that means a network that is not SEC biased or ACC biased will be able to carry games. So we won't have to listen to people say, well, Iowa doesn't belong, Indiana, they don't belong in here. They're not good. All that bias crap. I don't care who it is that they're, it's SEC bias drives me insane because, hey, y'all need to look at the deal. You're getting your butt kicked. So, but I don't have a doubt that it's going to 24 because the Big Ten does not have to. They're like, screw it. We'll stick to 12. Yeah. We're not giving in. You've got everything right now, and we're not giving it. We're not giving ESPN more power than they already have. They have too much power. They mm-hmm. also carry the you know, the weekly shows, which are luckily going away, but to pretend that they don't have bias and power is asinine.
Yeah, I had heard that they were kind of doing away with the ratings show that they would do each and every week, and you know, who's on the bubble, who's not, and they've come to the, like we've always said, you're better off waiting till about the last couple of weeks in the season.
Well, that's because things would happen, and they have no explanation for no common sense explanation. Right. And then they had what they had last year, which I understood. Notre Dame. Every time I say this, you know, people start chirping. I understood why Notre Dame didn't get in. Now, but I also say, were they better than James Madison and Arizona State? Well, hell yes. Those teams did not belong in there. But Notre Dame could have easily gotten in had they played somebody and beat them.
Right.
The problem is the two good teams they played, they lost to, and one of those was at home. Get in a conference because they're also not being judged equally. Mm-hmm. I don't care what they did 2 years ago. I'm not saying they're not a good program, but they're not being judged equally along with everybody else, Coach.
Yeah, well, and Notre Dame now has that distinction, even if it's a 12-team field, that if they're within the top 10, that they automatically get into the college football playoffs. I mean, that's something that was written in that has already taken form. But sure, they want to – Notre Dame's on the side of the Big Ten and everybody else because the more that there is to the field, be it 16 or 24, however you want to look at it, it's going to benefit them on either one of those numbers. And so they really have nothing to lose in this equation. But yeah, it's, you know, the debate, and, you know, the SEC says it's the presidents and the chancellors that are objecting to 24 teams and they're setting on 16. And no, I don't, you know, that's an interesting argument because I don't see that being the case. That's a good scapegoat. It's one of those things that, that I just don't think the debate is going to get anywhere. So it'll be interesting to see what overall happens with it, but I still think we're stuck with 12 teams for now. I don't see
And if we're being honest,
that's the best setup.
There's not more than 12 teams that can win the national championship.
Right, right.
They didn't have 12 teams in there last year that could win it. I can tell you that. But
yeah, Tony Petitti and all of them, the more the teams they have, the more money that is there to be generated in the sport, and ultimately takes care of the entire conference as opposed to just a few. Now, the Big Ten shares everything, so it's not like it's going to benefit one or the other. But I mean, it is about dollars and cents of it. And also, yeah, with
it
the
makes dollars, and it makes no sense.
Yeah, well, true. But also what you talked about earlier, putting ESPN in a position where they can't be the sole provider of the college football playoffs. It's automatically going to have to be something that is shared equally across the board, or, you know, it's not, they're not going to have the supplement, you know, the power that they have or supposed or appear to have when it comes to the field. So I just don't think it's going to move much. If you, my personal opinion, I don't like a 2014 playoff. You know, the same reason that a lot of people don't. 16, I'm kind of like the way we're at with 12, in the sense that we've never given it a chance.
The thing is with 12 is, Coach, and my, not to interrupt you, but my opinion is because this SEC bias still exists, but not only does it exist, but the TV partner provider is their benefactor.
Yeah,
they're
true.
Promoting them. So the Big Ten has been at a disadvantage, only getting three teams in while still winning the national championship. But they would have put Tennessee in last year. They would have put Vanderbilt in last year over Iowa, both of these. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I say this all the time. Iowa beat Vanderbilt's ass in the bowl game, and Tennessee did not beat not only a top 25 team all season while remaining in the top 25, they didn't beat a single team with a winning record. Mm-hmm. It's outrageous. Yeah. Outrageous, Coach. Let's take a break. Dustin Studi will join us, join the conversation next. More coming up. He loves all things Indiana. He'll bring us some history and some nuggets. He's like a gold miner. Maybe he should be a 49er. He just always brings little nuggets with us. Looking forward to it. Glad to have you along as well. Coming to you from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on Media Day. Back with more right after these messages. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio, on this fantastic Thursday from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And speaking of speedy, in comes Dustin Studi from Boilers on SI. Hey, the Purdue band will be here as they have played the opening ceremonies for, I don't know, 1,000 years, however long it's
been. It's been a while.
Since that damn drum's been around, I think. I think they just start that thing up at West Lafayette, put it on I-65 and give it one good shove and let it roll on down the highway. But, have you ever been to the Indianapolis 500, Mr. Studi?
Yes, once. It's not enough. I think we're planning on going again next year, but I've been once, and then I went to the Brickyard.
You think? I don't want to hear I think.
I'm a doer, not a thinker. How about that?
Yes, you are. That's what I said. You are. You're a gold miner, man. You bring all these nuggets.
By the way, the Purdue band first started in 1919, I think. Oh. Now, I don't know if they've done that consecutively,
started playing at Indy.
I thought that's what I had seen, but that may not be.
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, yeah.
Whether or not that's been consecutively, that was the very first time I believe that they performed was 1919.
Incredible. Yeah, everything is about tradition at mm-hmm. Indy. Again, part of what makes it so incredible, because to carry on in anything, to carry on in traditions in this day and age, traditions seem like they die now. Guys, yeah. I mean, both of you, I mean, Coach, you've been around a while. I mean, it just seems like traditions don't mean as much to younger people.
Well, I tell you, like back in my day, and like I said, I've never been to the 500, even as a Hoosier.
And you've been warned once. I warned you once, Dustin, every time. That's two times.
Move me to the third slot. But the tradition that we had, I would always go to my grandparents down in East Central Indiana, cook out, listen to the race on the radio. Connersville, Indiana.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, and we would, you know, like I said, we would be there and make homemade ice cream the old way, the turning way, where everybody took a turn turning the ice cream. But that was the tradition that we did. The Memorial Day and the 500. And then at 8 o'clock at night, when it came on the replay, then we'd watch it. I mean, that was kind of the day that it became. And you're correct. I think some of those days of tradition and doing things of that way have all but subsided for the most part.
Well, I can tell you from our experience, I didn't have that exact same experience, but, Griff, my grandpa would go every year, and when he didn't go, he loved making homemade ice cream. So that immediately brings back memories of my grandfather too. So that was, but we would listen to it every year. And then obviously they aired the 100th on television. I think that mm-hmm. was the one that was able to be seen. Yep. And then moving out of state obviously has made it easier to watch. But one of the things I've liked to do in my adult tradition, now it's a little bit harder with like Hulu or YouTube TV or whatever provider you have, is I like to sync up the audio, like the radio broadcast with the television mm-hmm. Call. And I've been able to do that perfectly a few times. It's best if you're able to do that like during like the national anthem or back home again in Indiana, because you can get the timing exactly right. If you try to do it when they're racing, you have no idea what the hell is happening. It's been harder, but I try to do that just because, you know, we know so many great people who are on those calls, including the great Chris Denary, who's I don't know if he still joins your show or not, Jim. But
well, he wasn't on this year because I thought that I would spare him, to be honest.
Yeah,
with
sure.
You, I mean, the weekly beatdown. But he retired from the Indy radio network last year.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
He was in turn four, man, and right. After all those great races, I mean, he was in the catbird seat, dude. I mean, they're coming into turn four, and Lion Dyke takes. I mean, boy, I can just get fired up. It's just it. Every time I start talking about certain something, it brings chills to you. But I would love to play golf while a race is going on. I don't care what race it is, but just
there you go.
Be back here, right? Your backswing, and they hit that turn. That would be a little rough, but beautiful. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, nice. I mean,
Dustin, you have to start your own tradition next year. Are you married yet?
I will be. Yes.
I know you will be. I didn't know if you were yet. When is that?
Next week.
Next week. Holy cow.
Week.
Well, we can't talk him out of it now.
don't be so. What are you talking about? What date is it? May what?
30th.
May 30th. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congrats.
Is she a Manchester grad?
Let's see.
No.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
What day is that?
It's a Saturday.
Okay. So will you still be here on that Thursday?
Probably not. But I could maybe.
Oh, you weakling.
I could probably do earlier in the week. I'll be available the next Thursday. I can do earlier in the week.
That doesn't count. You'll be married then. We could have done a bachelor party on the show, man.
Oh man, man. We still can. Maybe let's move some things around next week.
Yeah. I mean, hey,
I'm free Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Are you being drug around already? Come on.
No, but we will have a lot of family.
I'm kidding.
Already.
I'm only teasing people.
I know you are, but
we
will have.
Dustin knows, but I want to make sure that everybody else knows. I'm just kidding, man. But
what town are we getting married awesome. In?
St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Under the arch.
Close.
That's right. You've been down there for a while. I forgot about that.
Yeah. It's
he's all over. He comes back. Goes.
I was just going to say, you're covering Purdue from St. Louis and not easy.
What is the trip to West Lafayette? 3.5?
4 hours. Three and a half to Indy. Everything
takes longer to get to West Lafayette, though, I guess.
It does take a little bit longer, yep.
Dude, the state has to make I-65 three lanes from that first West Lafayette exit all the way because it is the worst freaking traffic in this
I'm telling you that was under construction before I moved, and that was 2015, the first time I moved, like down to Orlando. Good Lord. So there is no end in sight. There is a t-shirt company. I won't say their name here because they're not a sponsor, but they do have the state of Indiana shaped. Well, they should be. I agree. The state of Indiana.
You should get them.
I've tried in the past. It hasn't worked. But they have a orange barrel cone, orange road cone in the state of Indiana. And I have been tempted to buy that a few times because there's nothing more accurate.
I don't know. Back in the days of when I was younger and I was able to listen to Bob and Tom, which, unfortunately, Bob Kavoyan recently passed. And that was part of almost everybody's growing up, man. But anyway, there's a song that one of the comedians made, Orange Barrels.
Yeah.
Yes.
Orange barrels everywhere I see.
Was that Tom Wilson?
Orange barrels looking back at me.
I think it was.
Look at Larry, Darrow in their orange dress apparel. They pissed off my girlfriend, Carol, who's now leaved after me. Yes. No, it was not Tim Wilson. I don't know who it was, but it was not Tim Wilson.
Oh, okay.
I ran into Tim Wilson three different times. He lived in the Highlands neighborhood down in Louisville before he passed. And three different times, because I was in Southern Indiana, I ran into him. I ran into him at the airport once. I ran into him on St. Patrick's Day once. And then one other time that I remember at the airport, I'm like, I think he said, he goes, are you following me? And he was kidding. But I'm like, I was getting ready to ask you the same thing. But what a shame that he passed. What a great one.
And you talked about tradition, Bob and Tom with, what they would do at the track all month, the month of May up to Carb Day. I mean, that was as much as a morning tradition as you could get, like you said, listening to their show that even expanded when they started getting simulcast around the state of Indiana. So, it was hard. I was sad to see Bob finally lose that battle. But again, great memories of Bob and Tom's show.
Without question. And the Indianapolis media does
phenomenal.
They attack this thing. It feeds them. That's why I've tried to do as much as I can, but I'm coming from Bloomington every day. Next year, we're going to have to make a change there on accommodations because it's hard. I mean, I'm telling you, it's hard to do that and do all of this and get all of the content and not miss out on stuff. So there's so much to do. The drivers are so involved with they're at the school. Yesterday they were out visiting schools. I think today they'll end up after, this is media day, so we'll be speaking to them. But they go over to the winners of the porch decorating things and all of that. So parades on Saturday. Gronk is going to be again the grand marshal of the snake pit. Your place, Dustin. Those are your peeps, man.
Oh,
your peeps.
No. No, my God, I graduated from that so long ago. I think I might die if I entered the snake pit. But, I mean,
it's not the snake pit that it used to be. And I did not know this. Back in the day, the snake pit was in turn one.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yes, that's what I had thought.
It's been in turn three for a long time. I think it actually moved to turn four before turn three. I can't remember. I did not know it, but it makes sense. But
Maybe it was a mile down the road, huh?
Yeah. You know what? Damn near.
I'm telling you.
And I think about it. I've got this watch and this Aura ring. It's one of those Aura rings. So you want to talk about steps? Oh my God! I said you start. If you start in the middle of pit road, okay, you've got to go right or left. So you walk all the way down that one, you know, doing stuff, and then you got to come all the way back. Well, that's a damn mile right there.
Yeah.
Now you go all the way down the other side of pit road, and you come all the way back. There's another mile. If you think you're doing that once a day, you're crazy. You're
crazy. Yeah.
It's not, and that's just on pit road. That is not even going to gasoline alley. So, or getting back to the media complex, and I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's
how big it is.
Yeah, it's massive. Oh, somebody put out the greatest tweet the other day, guys. It showed, and I think there were 12 college football stadiums they put inside of the speedway.
Yes.
12.
Yeah.
Yep.
Think crazy. Of that. Crazy.
The big house of all the Ohio State, all of these stadiums fit 12 of them fit yep. inside. It's wild.
It's just insane. Just Coach, insane.
What do you got coming up, man? Another edition?
No, we took this week off just because the Memorial, day holiday and stuff, people traveling and things of that nature, but we'll be back next Thursday, 7:30. And I just saw this. We are 100 days from college football kicking off. If you can imagine that. It's just crazy.
I can.
So don't blink because we'll be ready for week one before long.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, brother, enjoy it. And
me too, buddy.
If you missed any episodes, go back and catch them. The Hoosier Tailgate, and you can catch that at thehoosier.com. Appreciate you, brother.
You too, partner. See you.
Absolutely. We'll check with you later. Let's see. And then my man, Dusterino. We've got a we'll take a break here in less than 30 seconds. But did you find any nuggets?
I have a few off the top of my head.
Ooh, we'll save those. We're going to use them when we come back. But we'll find some nuggets. And then anything else that the peeps want to talk about, we can do that. I have not even looked at the comments. It has been a busy day already. More coming up right here on Indiana Sports Beat Radio with Jim Coyle. Keep it locked on 98.7 WWZN, The Zone, Bloomington Sports Station. Back with more right after these. I broke early, bro, so I brought us back in. My fault. That's what happens. That's what happens when you walk up and down pit road too much. We've got a few more minutes before we need to break. So, we'll deal with that.
Happens.
All right. So, what are these nuggets that you found?
So people may know these, but these are the ones that, do you know, there was, now I think that this is correct, there's only been one person who's turned down the milk drinking?
Well, yes, I do.
Okay, you knew this. Okay.
Harry Leyendijk. No. It's Emerson Fittipaldi. Emerson Fittipaldi.
Yes. I was going to say, then there's two.
He later claimed he drank orange juice.
Yes, he chugged orange juice. Yep.
He later claimed that he didn't know it was a tradition.
Well, that could be. I don't remember.
Wrong answer.
Incorrect.
I don't know how many.
The milk tradition?
80 runnings, but there's 90. No. When he won?
Oh, when he won? No, it would have been.
It's been going on for long enough, is the
77?
Point. His family, I think, was also 67? In the orange business.
Oh, I did not know. See, you knew more nuggets than I did on that.
Well, that's just on that I happen to know, which it's still crap. That's why he now claims, oh, I didn't know. Right. Yeah. Did you know this? Each driver selects the milk they want to drink. Skim milk, 2%, whole milk, chocolate milk. I don't think we've ever seen someone, and I wonder, because I love chocolate milk. 1% chocolate milk is my go-to. As a matter of fact, it tastes so good, I would take 1% chocolate milk, and if I had regular 1% milk, I would split that half and half because it still tastes great. But chocolate milk is great for regeneration when you're athletes and all that good stuff. So,
see, I've heard that chocolate milk is not an option. Do we have?
It might not be.
Okay.
No. It might not be, and that's why. Yeah. And I would.
Which is surprising.
No. Chocolate milk does not say milk when you see it.
That's true.
You know, fair. And it's just, there's never been anything other than, you know, regular milk. So
now I believe you probably know this too. This is going to be a lot of milk trivia. Didn't the first person who drank milk at the Indy 500, I believe, was buttermilk, right?
Well, of course it probably was. That's all Louis, they had back then. Louis Pasteur is probably there handing it to him.
Louis Pasteur to Louis Meyer, whatever his
name. Yeah, that was.
You mean they didn't have 2% in skim milk back in the 1936?
If they did, it's because they skimmed it off the top of the bucket. That's the skim milk that they would have had. Here, it'll skim this foam off the top for you. But no, we'll see. Now we can head to take a break. The great Dustin Schutte is with me from Boilers on SI. It's media day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Looking forward to talking to drivers later. All of them: Catherine Legg, Joseph Newgarden, the Penske guys, Alex Palou as well. Back with more right after these messages. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Jim Coyle with you on this Thursday, media day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, ahead of the 110th running of the greatest spectacle in racing, the greatest spectacle there is, Dustin Schutte. I challenge anybody, forget about racing, I challenge anybody to give me something that can even compete with the king that is the Indianapolis 500. It's not, it doesn't exist. Not in this universe. And think about that. That's not even subjective. It's just fact. And we're talking on the entire planet. 1 in 1,000 people that are United States citizens, Dustin, will be at this track on Sunday.
That's wild to think about, isn't it?
It's just incomprehensible.
I know. And it's such a mass of humanity that gathers around there for the best, one of the what's the best day in the state of Indiana? The best sporting spectacle in...
It's not just the best day in Indiana.
Across the country?
Across the world.
I don't want to get booted out again.
No, it's... the media, like I've talked about, they're from all over the world. Germany, Japan, Spain, mm-hmm. Argentina. It doesn't matter. And I talked to my friend, but Sergio Herbel from Carburando in Argentina. But he knew. I helped them get an interview with Al Unser Jr. and a Spanish crew that he was with helped him get an interview with Al Unser Jr. Yesterday. And the knowledge this dude had, he was talking about, you remember Yoini? This was like, he had a picture with him and Al from 10 years ago. But he brought up something. Here's a nugget, and not that I knew it, but here's the nugget of the day. This will be the first time in 57 years of the Indianapolis 500 that what, Dustin Schutte?
I don't know this.
Tick tock, tick.
I may know it once you say it, but I don't know it off the top of my head.
Tick tock, tick tock, tick.
This is like a Final Jeopardy question. Beep. Can you give me a hint? Is there a hint? I may not know it.
It's not a three-part answer, but there are three parts in the answer. And it's all names.
See, I figured it had something to do with a driver.
Well, I'll just go ahead and it's not a multiple.
Multiple. Okay. Yeah, you're going to have to tell me. I don't know.
First time in 57 years. Of the Indianapolis 500. I want to check over in comments, make sure somebody didn't get it up, but that there will not be a Foyt, an Andretti, or an Unser in the Indianapolis 500. Marco Andretti was the last. He retired and carried the banner. And AJ Foyt Racing is still in it. Andretti Global is still in it. And Al Unser is still involved.
Yeah.
But they're not there. There is not one of the legendary names.
Yeah.
In the race.
So I was actually going to say the first time an Andretti hasn't raced, but when you said three parts, I would have got one out of three.
I would have given, well, that wouldn't have been first time in 57 years, but I would have said, oh, you're close.
I was on the right track.
Really warm, yes.
Now I would have not gotten I would not have combined to get the other two. So the Andretti part was the only part I would have had a guess at.
57 years, man.
That's crazy. That's more than,
it's almost six decades.
I was going to say it's close to half of the number of Indy 500s that have been ran.
It's more than half.
Is it?
This is the 110th running. That would be 114. If my math is correct, and I am not great at math, but the last time I added with my fingers and toes, 57 and 57 is 114. Is that correct?
That is correct.
This will be the 110th running of the Indianapolis 500, 114 being greater than 110.
You know what? Here's the thing, and I've seen the signage for it, and I don't know. I always get the 100th year and the 100th race mixed up because they don't align because there were some war years in there where they didn't. So that's
everything.
That makes
every
sense.
Record.
Yes.
That's so funny that you mentioned that because every record, it doesn't matter if you're talking about baseball or what. Boy, you got to look back at World War II because there's going to be a 4-year gap, but.
Yeah.
So, but lots going on today. Like I said, it's media day. We'll be talking with all of the drivers and we'll have all of that for you. But tomorrow's carb day. And what's the weather going to be like? You know,
well, see, that's the big question. Yeah. And one of the things that I've heard is like Now, I don't know. You've been there, obviously, so I'm going to rely on you on this.
Boy, that's scary.
Is the weather from the week going to be different than the weather on Sunday? Because that obviously makes a big difference how teams practice and could change the way things look practice. On Sunday.
That's
not a full day. Yeah.
Never. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I watched whatever they got. I don't know what the designation was, but they got within 55 minutes of completing their practice on what was that, Monday or Tuesday? Today's Thursday, so it had to be Monday. Yes. But I haven't been able to see since. So that's
After that, to see, there was nothing scheduled until Friday would have been the first time back on the track. And you want to talk about the importance of that? Well, that is Alexander Rossi being moved to the back because of the crash he had in that practice session, destroying his car. Therefore, they have to rebuild a new car, a backup car and all that. You go to the back. You had Kyle Collette, or one of the four rookies, who was the most successful of the four rookies, failed inspection after qualification, back to the race, to the back you go. So now, not only do you have all of that, they've got to
I thought Rossi got to keep his spot unless he wasn't the driver. Am I incorrect on that? I thought if you wrecked, if you drive, you get to keep your place, but you, if it's somebody else driving,
it's not the same car. I don't think you get to keep the spot without the actual car that you qualified in. And that car is obliterated.
I did see the wreckage of that.
And so, but Friday, like right now it says it's 54 and it's,
that's the high.
The high today is going to be 66 or so.
Let me tell you something.
Later in the afternoon, the sun's going to come out here in a little while. So the sun will be out here in the afternoon. It would have been a great day to get on the track. But the issue is tomorrow, partly cloudy early, followed by cloudy skies overnight. Oh, that's Thursday, dang it. Friday, cloudy early with showers for the afternoon hours. So, buddy, they're going to be out there as early as possible. I don't know what time carb day actually starts. I don't know if I have that in front of me. I'll have to look. But
Looks like Sunday's going to be – isn't good. That in question too? Good?
Yes, everything's in question, man. Is in question. And that's an unfortunate thing. But Friday is Miller Lite carb day, 8 a.m., the Indy 500 winter jacket presentation and photo at the Yard of Bricks. That annual tradition of the 500 winner and photo of the Yard of Bricks with the previous 500 winners.
Ooh.
That's at 8 a.m. It starts early, baby. The fans, it's hard for us to get in.
Yeah.
They line up because they can't get in until the gates open. So, but they start lining up down these streets, these narrow neighborhood streets, which they shouldn't allow them to do that. I'm going to be honest, because then we're told to drive around them so we can get through the gate with access. But, you know, people behind you just think you're being some jerk, you know.
Yeah, they don't know.
And so not looking forward to that. But
the one thing I have a lot of respect for what you are doing, and I have a lot of respect for what people who are covering the race are doing. That is the one event that I would just like to go as a spectator and not have to cover as a media person, because it just seemed, for the one reason that you just stated, it seems like that would be my worst nightmare. So all the credits salute to you, because you guys deserve a ton of credit for what you guys are doing and getting
there
in.
There are many, many people that do a much better job, but I'll be honest with you. The thing that I've learned most about covering Indy is that I didn't know enough.
I mean, oh, sure.
And I mean this. I just finished covering, you know, a national championship football team. All these different, and I've been to many bowl games and all that, and NCAA, and just was at the Final Four. Mm-hmm. Those are big events, but it's still relatively normal. Everything's relatively normal. Right. There's nothing normal about covering Indy. Nothing. Mm-hmm. And it is, and nothing, you know, if you're just an outside sports reporter and you can cover Indy like that, but you're not doing it justice. You're missing everything. I've learned that. So there is a lot of learning still to get in, but I love it and I look forward to it. This is the greatest event, greatest. I love IndyCar. I'm going to be one of their greatest promoters, baby.
It's awesome. Fantastic. Yeah, I love it. I especially in the summer months. Oh, it's outstanding. Good on you for getting out there and covering it all week the way you have been. I'm sure it's been a lot of work, but a lot of fun to do, you know, both those things.
Sunday. All right. Mostly cloudy in the morning with scattered thunderstorms developing later in the day. High of 74. Winds light and variable. Chance 30%. So we've got a 3 in 10 shot later in the day. Race starts what, noon or 1? I can't remember.
I think it's then the green flag wave at 12:30.
Yeah, too much.
Missed the itinerary.
Yeah, we'll cover that tomorrow. But the fact that it starts, or as long as you don't have many delays and things like that, you'll be fine. Yeah.
I mean, I know it takes longer, but the nice thing is that you get started relatively early in the day. And I like the Kentucky Derby, but that is 13 hours of coverage for, 12:45, 13 hours of coverage for 2 minutes.
People to bet. That's for all that is for people to bet.
Is it really?
I'm not. Yes. Hell yeah.
I've never been. And I'm not near the Kentucky Derby.
There's an hour between each race. And as you go throughout the day, it gets longer. But for you to buy alcohol and bet. That is why. That's no joke.
Well, the more alcohol you drink, the more you're going to bet.
I've covered it a ton of times. It's an incredible event. And it's a great event that we're close by, but it is like everything else. It's in the minor leagues compared to this. Yeah. People come to this for one reason, for the racing.
Right.
They come for the tradition, for all of the stuff that makes Indy Indy. It's not about getting dressed up and wearing a big ass hat and all of that. It's about racing. IMS lets you bring your cooler in, your own cooler.
Hell yeah. So, you know, you can see some things at IMS that you have never seen before in your life. And that extends past the racing, let me tell you.
Who's your driver?
Oh, boy. Who's your pick? Well, so I like the Indiana guys. So I always go Connor Daly. Would love to see him win. But it's hard not to root. Like, I like Alex Palou. I think he's seems like a stand up dude.
I think he's going to win the race.
I think he is too. But if you're asking me as an Indiana native, I will pull for Connor Daly.
Well,
I don't
who
think
doesn't?
He's got the.
Everybody would love.
Well, right.
That would be the greatest story. That would be the greatest story if Connor Daly won. The second biggest story would probably be if, say, I don't know. Kyle Collett won. A rookie from the back of the field who raced really well.
Well, the other one would be, and I believe I'm also correct on this. You can correct me if I'm wrong at any point. Wouldn't Elio Castroneves, if he won, wouldn't that put him at 5 as the all-time leader? So that would be kind of cool to see.
That slipped my mind a little bit. But it's because I think the odds of that happening are
I don't know,
but yes, that would be historic. There's
well,
he was the last guy to join the four time racers. There's only four of them, and he would be the only member of the five timers club.
Yeah, well, that would be who's in the four win club? Rick Mears, AJ Foyt, Elio,
Elio Castroneves, and Rick Mears, AJ Foyt, Al Unser Senior.
Oh, okay, yep, that makes sense.
The Unser family, nine Indianapolis 500 wins. His uncle Bobby, three wins. Al Unser Jr., two wins.
Two, yeah.
I mean, dude.
First family of Indy racing right there. Yeah, Indy 500.
He said it all. He said you just don't know what Indy means. One of the greatest quotes. And he's got a great book, man, if you haven't read it. Al Unser Jr., Checkered Past.
Great Ooh. Stuff. I'm going to check that out. That would be a good book.
Yeah. I highly recommend it. Highly recommend it. All right. Well, now.
That's a good pick. Yep. That is a great story. Yep.
If she won, I do agree, but I don't have a lot of money, but I'll take whatever I got and bet on it that is not going to happen. The bet for her is, if she's going to be able to finish the race? They didn't have a lot of speed. Yeah, that's going to be the challenge. But
yeah, we'll and a couple years ago, she got into an accident in qualifying. I don't remember if she was able to race or not in the actual 500. I just don't remember. I think that was 22 maybe that she had that accident. And I don't know if she was able to run the car. I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't recall either, but we've got lots more coming up. Matt Taylor will join us later in the program. And let's see, maybe I can pull up some of the audio that we've gathered from the week. Dustin Schutte is with me. You're welcome to stay. I've got nothing, no one scheduled for the next segment, but
I can do one more segment.
All right. If you want to stick around, we've got more coming up. Coming to you from Indianapolis as the 110th running of the Indy 500 happens on Sunday. Back with more right after these messages. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Jim Coyle with you on this Thursday. It's media day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Dustin Schutte from Boilers on SI with me. And I'm looking forward to this. Too bad you're not going to be here, but congratulations again. He is getting married. Five Lefts, I noticed, suggested you should have grown a marriage goatee. I'm sure that would have went over very well.
Maybe in the post ceremony, I can do that. I don't think I look particularly good with a goatee, so just I'll grow this in a little bit, get that little bit of scruffle. That's about the extent of me being able to grow. By the way, so this is funny to me. There was an old memory that popped up, Jim, of me doing your show several years ago.
I had, and it
was the patchiest, worst facial hair, and the fact that nobody said anything to me. I hate you all. I mean, I look terrible, Jim. It was awful.
Well, good. Well, that means maybe it's not as bad as you think it looks.
I think
everything I would do looks bad, and everything that I don't do looks bad. So I lose both ways. It doesn't matter. I've always said I used to be a TV sports anchor, but I have a face for radio, a voice for newspapers, and an intellect for yearbook. So
just keep going
down the line.
So I just barely grow this in, and that's enough, because I saw some old clips of Dustin doing Indiana Sports Beat with Jim Coyle back in the day. And I'm like, never again, unless I can get it to grow it in fuller. I think that would be the way.
BS has been coming on with us for quite some time, by the way. So there's that. Hey, you know, we've got the gambling issues going on with Brendan Sorsby, the former Indiana and Cincinnati quarterback, who there's no dang way in, you know what, that I hate that they don't just give this up, quit it, stop. Dude, you know what you did.
I completely agree. Yes.
Stop it.
And it's the most. So the one thing that I did see that I liked is the fact that I believe that that initial judge has recused himself, because too many times we've seen, I think it was the case with Trinidad Chambliss, who the judge
Charles Bediako for Alabama. The judge was an Alabama booster.
Right. I thought that that was also the case in the Trinidad Chambliss case too. He was also an Ole Miss, but I could be wrong. Maybe I'm.
You're right. I don't remember that one.
There's a couple of them that have been in that situation, but I was glad to see that. And the crummy thing is, Jim, is it shouldn't matter where the player went or where the judge went. Like, do what's right, and you know what's right. Like, this is the oldest rule in sports.
It's why we're in this mess. It's part of the reason why we're in this mess to begin with. Because all of these states have tried to influence everything in their own school's favor, and it's just crap.
Well, and the other thing is, like, he was underage, correct? Like, a lot of these would date back to before he was 21. Yeah. Isn't that part of the issue here? So not only did he break NCAA rules,
he's being investigated by both. He's being investigated by both state gambling agencies in addition to the NCAA.
One of the dumbest things, along with G League players coming back to college basketball. There's NBA a lot
players.
Of
players. Ben Yonko was an NBA player.
True.
But the reason I brought that up, Dustin, is a former Abilene Christian men's basketball player was permanently banned by the NCAA on Friday for allegedly helping rig basketball games for bettors, according to the NCAA's Division I Committee on Infractions. Aaron Simmons, who played at Abilene Christian from 2019 to 2024, colluded with a teammate and agreed with a bettor to throw a March 2024 game for money. In December 25 interview, Simmons told NCAA investigators he was also contacted by a second bettor about losing the game for money. In January, Simmons and the two bettors were included in a sprawling indictment by federal prosecutors in Pennsylvania on various charges, including bribery, fraud, and conspiracy. The point-shaving scheme generally revolved around gamblers who placed bets and recruited players with the promise of a big payment in exchange for them purposely underperforming during the game. Prosecutors said those fixtures would then, of course, bet on those teams, yada, yada, as we know. You're going to get caught.
Yeah.
They're good. I got it.
And
it might take them a year or two. You're going to get caught.
By the way, they were able to catch the situation in what year? Like, I don't remember the exact year, but wasn't that the 1980s that Boston College got in trouble for this? If they were able to do this
that
back
was the
then.
70s. I think that was the 70s.
Was it the 70s? Okay.
As a matter of fact, that's Henry Hill. Who was the character in The Departed?
Goodfellas.
Yes, you are correct.
Yeah.
There's so many of those daggone.
There are a lot of them, and it's easy to get them mixed up. But the only reason I know that's because I usually watch.
Well, wait a minute. Was it Jack Nicholson, Henry Hill in The Departed? I know that in Goodfellas that De Niro was. That's who
Ray Liotta
was.
Oh. Ray Liotta was Henry Hill in Goodfellas. Now I'm questioning The Departed. It's been a long time since I've seen that one.
I thought it was De Niro's character, whatever his character was. I don't remember now.
I can't remember either.
That's too much. It's a lot to keep up with.
Yeah. Either way, like, this stuff is just like, this is one of the things that there's a lot of things I think the NCAA has no authority over anymore, which obviously, like, eligibility is a problem, transfer portal, all that kind of stuff, but NIL, but this is something they should have authority over. Like, there's a reason, like, a lot of these sports leagues are taking this very seriously and suspending players or banning players. It's the same thing with the NCAA. You can't just, like, to me, the thing is, like, Brendan Sorsby is, and I don't know him personally. Look, I've known people with gambling addictions. It's not a pretty thing. A lot of harm can come from that, but you also can't say, look, I take full responsibility, but also this isn't my fault. This is your punishment. You get a second chance. It just may not be in college football. And so, like, to me, this is cut and dry. Like, that kid should not play another down. You jeopardize the integrity of the game, and he can say all he wants. And maybe it's truthful that he didn't have any inside information, but that's not the point. The point is you have access to that inside information. You have access to it, and you can relay that information to other people. And here's the crazy thing, Jim, is he is going to be not even close to the only person that's going to go down for this. There's going to be a lot more players at some point that are going to face similar situations. And it's unfortunate, but that's just the way. So you have to set the tone with this, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm still amazed. I think it was 2 years ago that there was a baseball game. I think it was Alabama. And two guys placed these major, and the coach was involved.
Was one of them, yep.
Holy crap. But they caught him.
Mm-hmm.
They caught these guys betting in Indiana and Ohio, I think, or Cincinnati, whatever. But it was an Indiana guy or something. But they caught them. When they did that, I'm like, wow. But it's baseball. So when you're doing some odd stuff on an odd sport like that, it stands out even more. But I keep saying this over and over. They don't realize it. You're going to get caught.
And we had it, Kennesaw State, a basketball player there got in trouble for gambling. There was some other mid-major, but I can't remember the other mid-majors. I know Kennesaw State was one. A few years ago, Iowa State and Iowa football players got suspended for doing stuff like this. So in every situation, they've gotten, as you mentioned, they've gotten caught. Like, this is not something the government takes lightly in terms of these sort of wagers and gambling and throwing games, shaving point shavings, all that stuff. And these leagues aren't going to take it either, because they make a lot of money with these sports betting companies. And if you jeopardize the integrity of the game, there's going to be a lot of problems. So yeah, it's unfortunate that he got himself into this mess, and hopefully he can get out of it. But that doesn't mean that you should be able to play.
Here's the thing. Not only does he lose his college eligibility, he lost $4 million from not being able to play for Texas Tech.
And I'm not saying that this is, but what NFL team would take a chance on him? You know, and I'm not saying he would have been a starter in the NFL by any, but who's to say somebody's not going to take a chance on him with a fifth round draft pick or something? I don't think that's going to happen now. So, like,
I see
you think so? If you're, so he's, to me,
it's a funny thing because of the gambling thing, but I think that they will, yes, I'll still think they will
if
say,
he was,
dude, we're going to draft you, but we're going to have to cut the end of your fingers off.
I mean,
but hey man, if he can play, they will freaking take him.
Okay. So here's my caveat to that is I agree with you. If he was like a Patrick Mahomes talent, a Caleb Williams talent, somebody like that. But I don't think he's in that category. So are you really going to take, you know, risk your neck out for a guy who may be a backup?
I don't know. I haven't read. I know that it's out there, but I've been too busy. I don't know how he is seen or thought of.
That's fair. I don't either. And it's not a particularly strong quarterback class, I don't think.
Well, obviously not. I mean, you had one with Fernando, who everyone considered him number one. And then there was the argument with one person and one person only. What's his name? That little dude that.
Oh, Diego Pavia.
No. I'm sorry. The little dude on ESPN who was touting Ty Simpson as much better than Fernando, and that he was going to be much more successful. Just all over the fact that Ty Simpson was better than Fernando. And I'm like, hey, that's not my business. I disagree, but I also know that I didn't watch Ty Simpson. Well, I did see him get destroyed by an Indiana defense that just consumed him like a breakfast. I did see him get knocked out of the game by a 5'7" defensive back from Indiana because he broke his rib. I did see Indiana just hound him to death and not give him a window to even survive.
Yep.
So that's what I saw. And I saw a guy who, now I'm not blaming him because they couldn't do jack on that day. Their running game, man, Indiana was on them like a blanket. But, you know, not my area of expertise per se, but I'm not, I can still opinionate that I disagree. But you know what?
Yeah.
Hey, different guys develop at different rates when,
right,
the more you go. Tom Brady,
and
people remember, was a sixth round draft pick.
Yep. And nobody like Sam Darnold just won a Super Bowl. I don't think anybody would have put him among the top probably 10 quarterbacks in the NFL, right? So yep. It just depends on where you're playing, who you're playing with, who, where you get drafted. There's, you know, there's a chance that Fernando was the best quarterback, but it, when you play for the Raiders, it's an uphill climb. So you just never know how these things are going to really play out.
Let's see. There's a, John says, did you see LSU new basketball roster, six drafted players? I did not. So I'm going to have to pull that up. Does that mean that six players that went into the draft, I'm assuming, Andy says that Will Wade personally wants to destroy college basketball. He is the worst. He's a slime ball.
Yeah. As, could you imagine? LSU. I was as just going to say. LSU. LSU as has.
And I hate to say this, as is Louisiana. I hate to say that as a whole, but look at the history of Louisiana. I guarantee you that state is it's crazy. But
Will Wade,
hey, go ahead.
I was just going to say Will Wade, Lane Kiffin, and Kim Mulkey. That would be my nightmare as the athletic director.
It's a triple-headed snake. Exactly, yeah. They're all snakes. Let's take a break for the snakes. But we'll come back with the great Matt Taylor, the veteran of Turn 3 at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and the voice of the Indianapolis Colts. More from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on this Media Day Thursday right after these messages. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio, on this Thursday. It is Media Day out here at the track, and we are joined by the incomparable Matt Taylor, who is a Turn 3 veteran of the Speedway, and I assume you will be finding your spot there again. You moved to the Turn 1, didn't you?
Yeah, we graduated from Turn 4 to Turn 1, but I feel like that's where the real party's at on race day, is Turn 3. Like, that's where, like, the hardcore, that's where stuff goes down. You know, like, you got to know a guy to know a guy to get into Turn 3. You know what I mean?
Well, you're the guy, man. You're the guy. So, what are you graduating? You're too old now?
Well, here's the deal. So, my cousin lives in Speedway, and she's, like, off a side road right off of Crawfordsville Road.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I just go where the parking is, right? So, I said, we got to be closest to where we park. We park at her house for free, set up the tent, we tailgate, get there, like, at 7 a.m., put it up, make some breakfast sandwiches, and then about a half-mile walk to Turn 1. Anything after that, I think you're just overthinking it, right? Because you got 33 cars on the track. You can't see the whole track anyway. So let's just go. Let's be practical about this, right?
Hey, IMS President Doug Bowles gave the greatest advice he can give in his presser the other day. Have a plan. You know, just have a plan. Seriously, because if you're coming here and you're planning on parking in one of the IMS lots, better think again.
No.
But the good thing about parking outside of the track, I didn't know this, they don't allow the lot traffic to leave first. They let that traffic leave that's parked outside of the track. They let the people that are walking out.
Yep.
There's bicycles parked outside the track. So that's why if you're in one of the IMS lots, they're not going to move for a while. So
that's the biggest piece of advice. If you're going to the race for the first time or you're trying to figure this thing out, The closer you are to the track in terms of where you park, the longer your day is going to be. That's why I am a huge proponent of scouting out and finding somewhere that you can park that bad boy and hoof it for about a half mile to a mile, because it might suck right after the race because you're on your feet after a long day. But as soon as you get to the car, you're going to have more outlets and more avenues to get to the right direction where you want to go. Because again, that's why I wanted to go from turn four to turn one, because I live on the south side and all that traffic after the race is going to route you north, and you're going to have to double back to where you ultimately want to go. So keep that in mind in terms of where you park and how you set up your day.
You know, what would be an excellent, sorry, I didn't mean to cut in here. You know what, no, just listening to Matt talk, would you know what would be excellent for a podcast? Well, maybe like if you put it on YouTube too, is I want to see this in like X's and O's strategy football type talk of your entire day.
You need an Indy 500 like strategy. You need the do's and the don'ts, where to go, where to eat. How to have, like, you know, how to enjoy the Indy 500 for the first time, you know, like where you need to go and what you need to see and be in a position to take this in and that in. But also, I think just parking and street closures, I mean, just take it from a local, like a diehard that's been to like almost 30 of these things. I can tell you how it goes and where to be and where not to be.
Yeah, I should have copied.
That's a show. That is a show, Dustin. Let's go. We're taping that as soon as we're done, Dustin, you and me. We're putting it on YouTube. Come on.
Yeah, there's
millions of subscribers.
Map that we've looked at. And one of the funny things is, I talked about this earlier, Matt, is they put up someone posted a picture of the Speedway, and there were 12 stadiums that fit inside of here. But yes, when you're leaving, that's another thing, as you just pointed out. People have to understand it doesn't matter where you want to go. It's where you are going to go.
It's where you're going to be told to go. And listen, this is not a shot. Okay. I've been to like 1,000 of these things. All right. So this, trust me, this is not a shot at our local police in enforcement. Okay. Our first responders. All right. They've got a tough job, but I'm also convinced, right, when you've got 350,000 to 400,000 people all coming basically from around the same place, the more roads you close down, the more you're going to make it worse. So that's again, I don't want to get on a soapbox, and I'm not trying to be critical of anything, but I've been to enough of these to know that like it almost like doesn't make sense sometimes how they do this. Like the more roads you open, the faster some of these people can get the hell out of Dodge and open things up a little bit. So some of these road closures and these one ways and these arteries, you know, to these main thoroughfares, you know, to 65 and 465, I get it to a degree, but it almost seems like you're kind of making matters worse when you close down all the roads to get to some of these main arteries, if you will. So I don't know, maybe I'm completely off in that assessment. Maybe somebody from the police department is going to call me and chew me out. But I just think like we almost make it worse by closing down roads.
I can't argue it because I am not going to argue with I think IMS does an absolute great job.
There you go. There you go. Way to go. Yeah. Tow that. You know where you are. Be where your feet are, Jim.
Fantastic. Yes, it's fantastic. Go ahead, Dustin.
Well, I was just going to say, I think also part of the problem here is like you also have a lot of people that don't understand you're going to wait 3 hours to get out of there anyway. So you might as well go back, have a water, sober up a little bit, have another sandwich, whatever. Like just chill out for a couple hours because you're going to be sitting there one way or another.
Oh, that's a great point. And that's what you do, dude. You have to kind of know that going in, that like that traffic and that post-race congestion is going to be baked into your day. Again, you know, if we're doing the podcast, I don't want to ruin the podcast after we get done here, Dustin, but you've got to know, right? If you're going to the Indy 500 for the first time, that's what you're doing that day. All right. You're not going to be spreading mulch after the race, right? You're not going to lose little Susie's open house, you know, to celebrate her high school performances. No, you're going to the Indy 500, and that is what you are doing that day. I always say one of the top five best showers you have of the year is your post Indy 500 race day shower. You know, wipe off all that sunscreen, you know, maybe you got after it a little bit before the race and saw the green flag, you know, wipe off some of that hungoverness, if you will. But that's what you're doing that day. If you're going to the Indy 500, that's your Sunday.
There's no doubt about that. And I let me see. I hope this is in the right spot. But this was Doug Bowles the other day. It's a great short story, hopefully.
We were working. Mike was up there with me. We were working the Pagoda Command on 9, trying to think through the traffic patterns. And my mom, who had parked over here outside the racetrack, decided she ought to call her son and tell him that she wasn't moving. And I explained to her that I understand that, Mom. And then 10 minutes later, I got a text that said, I've moved 5 feet in the last 10 minutes. It was literally an entire evening of my mom disciplining me as if I was a teenager because I wasn't doing traffic well. So my only point in that is just patience. A lot of people have my phone number because I call customers and don't block my phone. So that night, I did get a lot of text messages from random numbers. We're going to do the best we can. It is a lot of people in one location. We've made some changes in the traffic exit plan this year that we think will help expedite that a bit. So we're looking forward to seeing how that works. But again, it's just about being patient. Tell the stories of why you had such a great time at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And I just know that if you're frustrated, that I'm probably hearing from my mom on behalf of you. So you don't need to worry about getting on top of me. I will definitely hear it from Mom.
There you go. There's the man himself, the president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and Doug Bowles, who heard it from Mom. And he said that, as he heard him say, they made some changes.
Just walk and park. Park and walk, right? I mean, just, yeah. You know, get about a half a mile to a mile outside of that, and then your world is going to open way up.
It is the best advice, because you get out first.
Yep.
You get out first. What are you looking forward to with the race? Who's your driver? Connor Daly, of course, a local favorite hero. Love to see him win. But
yeah,
something has to happen, in my opinion, for Alex Palou to not win this race.
That's a really good point. It's almost like someone else needs to make an error in front of him, right? Like kind of, you know, takes him out, or he's involved in something that you know, is really out of his control. You know what I mean? Like a tire hits his car, or, you know, something crazy like that. Cause if it's just up to him driving his machine, he is certainly superior to a lot of guys within that series. And, you know, I'm a football guy, so it almost feels like we don't really know how to embrace his dominance, right? Because whenever you talk about dominance in a dynasty, that's kind of a polarizing topic. You either love it or you hate it. It's kind of like the Chiefs in the NFL. We're almost having like this fatigue on Alex Palou, where Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are on primetime every single Sunday or Monday. And, you know, like it or not, they're the cream of the crop right now. But I think within this series, there's still a lot of great storylines and a lot of great drivers that would help in advancing the popularity of the series and allowing for the series to kind of carry some momentum after the Indy 500 heading into the summer. I think a guy that would do that to a great deal would be Pato O'Ward. He's got a great fan base, and he certainly put up good results at the Indianapolis 500. I think he's finished second, fourth, and sixth. So he's been right there. I mean, he got past with two turns to go 2 years ago by Joseph Newgarden. So he's right there and has the right formula and the right race setup to know how to get it done. But, you know, I'll be candid with you. You know, like, I love the Indy 500. I love the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Once the race is done, you know, I'm not that guy. I'll speak candidly. Like, I don't really follow what's going on in Detroit the week after, or, you know, the Long Beach Grand Prix. You know, I'm kind of a casual observer after that. But for these 2 weeks, man, like, I'm really dialed into the cars and the storylines and, you know, the different nuances of the race. I just have a lot of, you know, what I call like civic pride for this race and what it means to, you know, like the fabric of our community and how it brings and bonds all of us together. And I just truly say, like, the month of May in Indianapolis is so special. You can't recreate it anywhere else. If you're not from here, you really don't understand it. I mean, the porch parties and, you know, all the stickers on the garage fridges. I mean, I just think that's that's so cool. And I have a lot of respect and a lot of admiration for what, you know, this race means to our community. But being a diehard IndyCar fan, I don't have a whole lot of time for it just with my schedule and everything else. But for these 2 weeks, man, I'm a huge racing fan and love what those 200 laps mean to our city.
I understand completely, because it is so difficult to explain it, because I've been saying the same thing every day over and over and over. Unless you experience it, you cannot understand it, because it is not like anything else in the world. And that's not hyperbole. It's just reality. And, and it's incredible. I don't care if it was 500,000 people here, man. It's juiced the energy. Imagine the energy, people. It's awesome. Dustin has been once, I think. Is that what you said earlier?
Yeah, just one. I've been to the Indy one.
He's getting married next week, by the way, Matt.
Oh, yes. Congratulations, man. Well, now you've got a good excuse. You should see it. So just to give you an idea of like how much this race and how much reverence I have for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Dustin, give you a little bit of piece of advice. I don't know if you can put this into place tomorrow, because it's going to be a short turnaround, man. But I had my bachelor party at Carb Day.
See, I said, are you going to be with us next Thursday?
So listen.
He's like, I don't think so. I go, we can do your bachelor party on air.
Listen, like, everybody thinks for a bachelor party they need to go out of town and, you know, go to Nashville or hit up Las Vegas or, you know, go to the beach in Florida. Listen, if you're from Indiana and you want as many buddies and as many people to come to your bachelor party as possible, you have that damn thing at Carb Day, because people aren't working that weekend that day anyways, right? And it's everything you want. You got a band, you got booze, and I always say that Carb Day, it's like the all-star game of people watching. Like, everything's represented. And what more? And then you're done partying by like 6 o'clock and everybody goes home and sleeps in their own bed. So to me, it was like the perfect blend of every world possible.
Yeah, that would have been a great idea. I already did it in April. I actually did come to Indy, hung out in Noblesville, and then went out to Fisher's for a nice meal and everything. So would have been good, but we're planning on going to the 500 next year. So
there you go.
This works out well for me, because now every week in May, I got something. I'll have an anniversary, my birthday.
Yeah, good call.
500 and the PGA Championship. So every weekend is booked for me in the month of May moving forward.
And Jim, the year I had my bachelor party at Carb Day, Leonard Skinner performed. All right. So, I mean, what more could you want? That's like chocolate and peanut butter, you know, racing, Carb Day, Skinnerd, beer, Indianapolis. I mean, you've got to experience it to really fully understand how special it is.
Absolutely. And you guys are special, and I appreciate both of you. I hope to run into you out here, Matt, and hope to have you out here next year, Dustin. But appreciate both of you guys. Enjoy your weekend.
You too, guys. Always good to be with you. Good to see you.
Thank you, Matt Taylor, the voice of the Colts. Dustin, I appreciate you as well, my friend.
Thanks.
Dustin Schutte, the Boilers on SI. Thanks to each and every one of you. Continued coverage from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the Indy 500 all day tomorrow and throughout the weekend. Until then, I am Jim Coyle. I will see you on the radio.
Thanks for listening to Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page for more clips and team coverage of Indiana basketball, football, and more. You can also find full episodes and tons of other content on thehoosier.com. We'll see you next time for another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio.